Please open your Bibles to 1 John this morning, and let's study together God's Word. 1 John chapter 1. First of all, notice the declaration in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Declaration. Very simple. God is light. Now, beloved, it says God is light. I'm afraid that sometimes in our weak Christian circles, we put the emphasis upon God is love first. But, beloved, He must be pure and holy, which light stands for Him to love in purity and love in holiness. For Him to be able to give a life that is purity and holiness, He Himself must be pure and holy. So we begin with the right premise, and that is that God is light. Notice with me verse 5. This then is the message. And so that is that which they had received from the Lord Jesus, which we have heard of Him, in opposition to the false teachers of that day. By the way, error has many voices. You can turn on even Christian radio, and you're going to hear many voices, and sometimes voices of error. There are many voices, and sometimes in opposition to the error of that day, he said, this is a message which we've heard of Him. We've seen Him. We've touched Him. We've heard Him. And so this was first-hand knowledge that the John the Apostle shares about these truths. And so, beloved, isn't it exciting this morning to hold God's Word? Beloved, isn't it exciting to study divine declaration? Isn't it exciting to open up this morning and not wonder if we have the opinion of men, but we find that this is communication from heaven? He says, and we declare it unto you. It's interesting in our text. Notice it says in verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and it says we walk in darkness and we lie. Verse 7, but we walk in the light, and see in the light, we have fellowship. Verse 8, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. Beloved, I don't care where you're sitting in our auditorium this morning. I don't care where you've come from. There's truth here for you. It includes all of us. And so the text says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. And beloved, this morning we see Him explained here in this text, in this declaration, that God is light. As biblicist, He is described for us with much detail from Genesis through Revelation. I am awed, I am amazed, I'm astounded that God would express Himself to us so fully. I am so thrilled to have the Word of God, because there we find God revealed. Here we come to a truth. God is light. I remember as a new Christian thinking, God is light. Click, on comes the light bulb. What does it mean that God is light? Folks, when you turn on the light, light dispels darkness. And so now we have to figure out in what way is God light dispelling darkness. If we look at light in two ways, number one, when you have intellectual light, it dispels the darkness of error. In other words, it brings you to truth. Isn't that right? We don't like, even in secular terms, to see people in intellectual darkness, right? We want them to learn, we want them to read, we want them to understand. Folks, are you with me? That's intellectual lightness, people coming into truth. Number two, morally. When we think of moral light, it is dispelling, I use the opposite term, immoralness, right? It dispels the darkness of immorality. And so, God is light. In that, He has no error, and He has absolutely no evil. The text here is very powerful. In Him is no darkness at all. James says that He is the Father of lights. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so he is our Lord and the light of our salvation, David said in Psalm 27. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He brings intellectual truth, and he brings moral purity and holiness and righteousness because of him being intellectually and morally light. I mean, there is absolutely no evil and no error in God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. You can trust him. And he's pure, he's perfect, he's holy in every essence. And so there's no imperfection in God. There is absolutely no flaw in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no mistakes in God. There's no weakness in God. He's perfect, he's pure, he's holy, he's sinless. He said that he is the light of the world. I love that declaration. He says here that in him is no darkness at all. That's an absolute. Now, we find this declaration in verse 5. He builds on that declaration in verse 6. Notice, please, the difficulty. The declaration, verse 5, the difficulty in verse 6. If we, again we come to that first person plural here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now get the concept, beloved. If we say that we're a Christian and don't live like a Christian, we're liars. If we say as a Christian that we have fellowship with God, and yet we don't walk the walk, we're liars. Do you get the principle? It's pretty clear. Our life needs to line up with our lips. Our walk needs to line up with our words. And so there's the difficulty that some people have. Verse 6. I love this tremendous verse. We say that we have fellowship with him. If we claim, if we boast, he says, koinonia, partnership, we participate with him. We share in God's life. There are those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and, quote, live like the devil. They're a lie. They're not living truth, because you can't be that way. If you possess new life, the Bible says all things have become new. There's a growth process. Things are changing in our life. And so, if we have fellowship with him, beloved, one of the most exciting part about being a Christian is being able to have fellowship with God. As humans, we're on one level, and deity, he's on another level. But God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, has established a means whereby we have a partnership and participation in his life. And beloved, we have that wonderful fellowship. It's the most awesome thing about being saved. We know God. We know the Creator behind creation. We know God. We know the one who spoke these words that we call our Bible. But we know God that created us. We know he has a plan for us. We know he has a purpose for us. We know he has a future for us. Oh, how exciting to have him participate in our life. To be in partnership with God. That's koinonia. That is fellowship. And if we say that we have that partnership and participation with God, and we walk in darkness, you start the Christian life with your first step when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and your baptism, and you're reading the Bible, and you're witnessing to other people, and you're living a life honoring to the Lord. It is called the Christian walk. And here the text says, notice with me in verse 6, if we say with our lips that we have fellowship, koinonia, with him, and our walk, our Christian life, life in general, is in darkness, what does it mean to be in darkness? Well, it means the opposite of doing right. It means the opposite of living a biblical lifestyle. It means lying. It means cheating. It means being immoral. It means not doing what God wants us to do, not bringing our life into alignment with the Word of God. Beloved, Acts 26 says, we are turned from darkness to light. Acts 8 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Ephesians 5 says that we were once in darkness, but now we're in light. Colossians 1:12 says we have been translated in the kingdom of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 says you are the sons of light. 1 Peter says that we have come into his marvelous light. And so, beloved, the darkness of error and the darkness of evil, we as born-again believers who have a relationship, a koinonia with God, we're to not walk that way. And so we're not to commit adultery. We're not to lie. We're not to steal. We're not to murder. We're not to do the things that God says is wrong. And the text says, if we say that we're saved, or if we say that we have participated with Him, we have a relationship with Him, a fellowship with Him, and walk in this darkness, He says, we're liars. Isn't that strong? We're careful just not to point to someone and say, you're a liar. God, He doesn't hold back. He says, you say you're a part of my family and you don't walk it. You're a liar. He says, He points out, He says, you say you have a koinonia, fellowship with me, and you're not fellowshipping with me when you're doing those things that are so wrong. You're lying. You're not fellowshipping with me. That's powerful, powerful stuff. We lie. And I love the text. It's not only lips, but He says your life is a lie. The text says, and you do not practice truth. You're not fleshing out truth. And so He says, you do not the truth. The key is not just words, but the key of the Christian life is walking it. And so He says, be angry, but don't you sin, and sin not. Bible tells us to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy. Beloved, He says, I give you peace. We don't practice that, and yet we say we're in close fellowship with God. There's something wrong in our life. He says, you lie and you do not the truth. And this is present tense. He said, you live a life of not being truthful with your words, your ways, your lips, and with your life. Let's go on to verse 7. This is awesome stuff. Now, here's the discovery. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You've got to think this through. It's very logical. So He says, if we walk in the light, not saying that we are, but if we're walking the walk in the light, that is in intellectual, moral light, that is no error, that is not evil. He says, there's two things we have. Fellowship, koinonia with one another. And number two, He says, forgiveness of sin. We have two tremendous truths here. He says, number one, you'll have fellowship. You'll have a participation and sharing in other people's life. And number two, you'll have not only fellowship, but forgiveness of sin. Let's look at this. The discovery is, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Again, the word walk here, the Greek word, emphasizes a life or living. And so it's our conduct, our thoughts, our attitude, our actions, our words, our deeds, the things that we do. If we walk in the light, we've already mentioned light is the intellectual, moral light. Without error, according to the biblical principles of the Word of God. Without evil, making sure that we bring our life into alignment with the principles of the Word of God. He says, as we walk, as He is in the light, the text says, beloved, we're called out of darkness into His glorious light as believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so, light is His very nature, and it should be the nature of our life. Light is His very essence. And so the light should be the very essence of our life as a Christian. It's the very sphere of God's existence. A beloved, ought to be the very sphere of our existence. To live a life of intellectual and moral light. A life of truth, according to the Word of God. And a light that is true, biblical, lining up with the principles of the Word of God. If we do, consequence number one, we have fellowship one with another. And it's cool. I mean, it's really neat. When you find someone that's biblically excited about God's Word and loves His Word and quickly brings their life into alignment with the principles, and you want to go fishing together, there's just something about that that's so neat. You want to go flying together. You want to go ride your motorbikes together. You want to go ride your pedal bikes together. Whatever you want to do. There is some closeness there. The text says, because if we walk in the light, to see us in the light, we have a participation. We participate, koinonia, fellowship one with another. There's a closeness, a kinship there. When you're with someone else who is walking the walk. One of the great joys of having koinonia with God is then we can have koinonia with one another. And by the way, beloved, you'll never have right relationship with another unless you have a right relationship with God. The problem with this world today cannot be fixed with jails. It cannot be fixed with more policemen on 101A stopping the speeders. It cannot be fixed even with, quote, the old moral majority that was so popular years ago. The only answer to today's problems in America is people need to be born again. Because the Bible says you have a right relationship with God, you'll have a right relationship with men. If everyone was born again, walking in biblical truth, you wouldn't have to ever worry about a terrorist. You wouldn't have to worry about someone robbing you or taking your car. You wouldn't have to worry about someone ripping you off. You wouldn't have to worry about someone abusing or breaking into your home or molesting or bothering your family in any way. You wouldn't have to worry about that if everybody had a right relationship with God. Because the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. The Bible says thou shalt not lie. Isn't this powerful? I mean, just have a right relationship with God and you'll have a right relationship with one another. A bad relationship with God brings a bad relationship in other areas. So they have a bad relationship with God. They break into your house and they steal. They have a bad relationship with God. And so when you get a little closer to the bumper, they jam on their brakes. I mean, you have a bad relationship with God. You can have a bad relationship with one another. This is powerful stuff. And as believers, beloved, if you have a right relationship with God, you won't cheat anyone else in business. You won't have road rage. If you have a right relationship with God, you won't lie or misrepresent the truth. If you have a right relationship with God, you won't have premarital relations. You won't commit adultery. If you have a right relationship with God, because you're not going to break His principles, and that affects your relationship with every other person. Right koinonia with God brings right koinonia. Right fellowship with God brings right fellowship with other people. Second wonderful result is one of the most difficult, one of the most sought after answers in the world from all of time. Man's greatest desire and that which he has given himself to more than any other area, how to deal with the sin problem. If you have a right relationship with God, you'll have a right relationship with someone else. It says in the text, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. First of all, I just want to mention the word blood here. It's very important. Years ago, Elizabeth's aunt was asked never to sing another song in her church that mentioned the word blood. Said, because in this day we live, it's not acceptable. It's too gory. Beloved, the Bible says Jesus just didn't die, but He gave His life on the cross in a vicious way where the shedding of blood took place. There was blood from the crown of thorns. There was blood from His beard that was plucked out. There was blood from His hands and His feet. There was blood from His side. There was blood that came from His abdominal area where He was cat of nine tail when He was whipped. Beloved, He shed His blood. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. And when that little lamb was taken and placed on the altar in the Old Testament, and the knife was thrust down through that beautiful snow-white wool, and the red stain of the blood came out and stained that wool, It was a clear evidence that there was the giving of a life without a question. And beloved, He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary to be a vicarious in our place, victim taking our sins when we should have taken our sins. It was a vicious death on the cross. Praise the Lord for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. Other men have died in substitution vicariously for someone else. But Jesus was God in the flesh, the light of the world, pure and perfect. He was holy and absolute, right and righteous in every area. And being God in the flesh, when He was lifted up between heaven and earth, only He could pay the price for your sins and mine. And He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sin to be a substitutionary, satisfying sacrifice for sin. The text says, that blood cleanseth us from all sin. Beloved, cleanses us from all sin. I mean, it keeps on cleansing. Present tense. Beloved, listen. Get the context. Get the context. Beloved, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you will have a right relationship with God. That will give you a right relationship with man. And it will give you the forgiveness of sin, present tense. And so you're walking in the light, and you're doing that which honors Him. Your sins are present tense forgiven. Past, present, future. I mean, your sins are under the blood. He died on the cross for your sins. And as we walk in the light as He is in the light, and then we have our sins forgiven, we have then a relationship with others. Present tense. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Beloved, they are. That's past tense. They were at the cross. I close with one last thought in the last couple minutes that we have. And that is going to be the next verse here. The deception in verse 8. This is where some people are deceived. They say they don't have any sin. The text says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And His truth's not in us. Here's the deception. The word sin is singular. It is not saying sins. I have no sin of adultery, no sin of lying, no sin of misrepresenting truth. I don't have that problem. No. The word sin is singular. It deals with the sin principle. You say, I'm above sin, or I don't have a sinful nature. I have nothing in my life ever. Well, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's not true. Beloved, Romans, all have sinned. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so, beloved, even as a Christian, we have an old nature. We have a sin nature. It's there. And we should not deny it. We deny it and we deceive ourselves. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And so the answer today is to get it out. Agree with God concerning it. And He says, and you walk a biblical lifestyle, koinonia, with God, you'll have a right relationship with others and I'll forgive you your sin. Just don't deny that you have any sin in your life. I mean, take care of it. Agree with God concerning it. So sad today. We even as Christians have taken up the humanistic, the world's philosophy. So why do we call someone who's dealing with drink? We say, oh, that's alcoholism. You know, beloved, there's no cure for alcoholism. Listen carefully. There is no cure for alcoholism. The Bible calls it drunkenness. Don't deny it as a sin. Call it a sin. Drunkenness. Because we had a cure for drunkenness. Jesus died on the cross. He'll take your drunkenness away. But there's no cure when you leave it in alcoholism. The world says, oh, they're just having an affair. Don't call it an affair. That's not sin, an affair. Call it adultery. That's sin. And there's a cure for sin, the blood of Christ. The world says, that's really not a problem. All he did was just a little misrepresent the truth a little bit. Call it what it is. Call it lying. It's a sin. There's a remedy for sin. It's the blood of Christ. You see, they said if we say that we have no sin, and I'm afraid that we as Christians sometimes wear the same shoes of the world. World says it's a gay lifestyle. World says it is homosexuality. You know, the Bible calls it sodomy. I really don't have an answer for homosexuality. I really don't have an answer for the gay lifestyle. But I tell you, I have an answer for sodomy. The Bible calls it sin. There's forgiveness and there's power over sin. And lives can be changed. And so, if we say that we have no sin, we give sin another name. We deceive ourselves. And it's not biblical. The truth is not in us. Family dysfunction. Beloved, family dysfunction? What do you mean family dysfunction? The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you don't do that, it's sin. The Bible says, wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. If you don't do that, that is sin. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If you don't do that, that is sin. It's not a dysfunctional family, it's sin. Just don't say you have no sin. Call it what God does. Don't kid yourself, the text says. Don't deceive yourself. So when the principles are denied, you deceive yourself. Beloved, every time you see something in the Word of God and you don't bring your life into line with the principles that you find in the text, you deceive yourself. You're being deceived. You know who the master deceiver is? Come on, who is the master deceiver? The devil himself. That's what his name means, the deceiver. Ecclesiastes 7, there's not a just man upon the earth. Romans 3:12, there's none righteous, no, not one. 2 Chronicles 6 says, there's no man that sinneth not. And he says simply, listen, if you don't call sin what it is and have it covered under the blood, he says, the truth is not in you. Notice the text. He says, you don't have the biblical principles of the Word of God in you. The truth is not in you. And you don't know the Word of God. You don't know the Bible. You don't know biblical truths. You've been deceived. And he says, you make God a liar when you do that. His truth is not in us. The deception simply is, don't say you have no sin. Because he says, he that covereth his sin is never going to prosper. Beloved, uncover it and cover it with the blood of Christ. Let's bow our heads.